Welcome to the Oil Country Podcast with your hosts, John, Kyle, and Dobko.
Hello, Oilers fans, and welcome back to another episode of the Oil Country Podcast. Going to check in with my co-host here, Kyle. Ooh, good voice crack to start the episode. Love it. Kyle, how are you doing, man?
Yeah, fuck. All right, dude. Got to watch lots of hockey this week. Watch what might have been some of the best hockey we've seen McDavid play potentially in his entire career so far. He is absolutely super cyan at this point. Yeah, Dobko, buddy, how's your week, man?
Who's that?
Connor McDavid, I think his name is.
Well, it's been good. It's been good. You know, just enjoyed the Oilers, you know, firmly cementing themselves in the playoff race, and you know, we're just ready to go. I'm just fired up, ready to go for the playoffs, honestly.
And we're only one magical point away from clinching, and that could be done. What is it, Monday? Tomorrow against Vancouver, and that's the
thing.
That...
Let me ask you this. Do you think we get it done against Vancouver on Monday or Vancouver on Wednesday or maybe Vancouver on Thursday? Or do you think we might do it against Vancouver on Saturday?
I don't, you know what? I really don't want to jump to conclusions here. I'm pretty confident it's going to happen this week and we will clinch against Vancouver though.
You're going to come out and say that. Son of a bitch.
You know what? I'll go one step further. I fucking guarantee that happens this week against Vancouver.
0-4 this week.
Yo, man.
Oh, my God.
If we go 0-4, I'm legit not dropping an episode next week. We're taking a week off.
We're just hiding.
You're just outright fired if that happens, John.
Yeah, straight up. I'll turn into like a producer and you'll literally never hear my shitty voice ever again, if that happens.
It'll just be us saying, John, pull that up. That's it.
Yeah. John, pull that shit up. I'll be the new Jamie on the podcast. Before we get into the more Oilers talk, I did want to bring up Dobko had quite a nice find. We were thinking about something to do for a giveaway item for some of our loyal listeners, which would be you guys. And found a badass Ethan Bear signed mini helmet from Pro Am Sports. We've jerked them off and talked about that enough. Absolutely love Pro Am Sports. So figured we'd do that. We are going to drop a code word later on in the episode. All you have to do is DM us on Twitter, send us a message on Reddit, or you could also send us an email if you don't have social media and you're still relying on email. Send us that code word once you get it later on in the episode, and you will get entered in that draw to win the Ethan Bear autographed mini helmet. It was a mini helmet, right, Dobko?
Yeah, it's a mini helmet. It has his signature and then also the Cree written signature of his right next to it. So it's a pretty cool little find if you're an Oilers or just general memorabilia guy. But the code word is going to be announced later in the episode. So
I thought you were about to drop it and jump the gun. Did we agree to do it later?
Wow. I'm not that big of a monster.
You're forgetting the other reason too. Like, although we are getting it because we're stoked with our loyal listeners, and we've seen a bunch of growth over the past couple months here that we're extremely happy about. It's also me and John and now Dobko's 100th episode, which will be next episode dropping.
So if we don't go 0-4.
Yeah, I guess, yeah, if we don't go 0-4. We're gone, nobody's getting the helmet, and Dobko's keeping it, yeah.
I might just keep it anyways. I'm trying to win this myself.
Thanks for jumping in there, Kyle. I can't believe I forgot that detail. I'm just like, brain is fried from today or something. I don't know what's going on, but
John's seen a nice booty earlier today. He's been totally just brain dead ever since.
Yeah, just been all over the place. But yeah, man, it's super exciting, honestly. Most people listening to us are probably like, wow, these guys are still that bad after 100 episodes together. And yeah, we are. But still something worth celebrating for sure. It's been a blast the last, well, shit, coming up on 2 years, man. We've been dicking around with this podcast and having a blast while doing it. So it's been an absolute pleasure and happy to have Dobko aboard for the last, well, 25 now and counting. Let's get into the more nitty-gritty hockey talk here, boys. Where are we going to start? You want to glaze over those Winnipeg games and get into the Battle of Alberta? Or, I mean, those Winnipeg games are pretty good. That was McDavid in his early prime putting on a show.
Well, just day in, day out, Connor McDavid just averaging a point per period like he does. I mean, every night, every week we come on here and have another moment of McDavid brilliance. And you know what? I'm not even going to give him the satisfaction. Connor, you could do better. Why don't you have 4 points per game? It's bullshit. No, it's absolutely like ridiculous what he's doing. And he's just it's an absolute clinic. He's making everyone else embarrassed. And if you think there's a discussion for who the best player in the league is, there's not. It's number 97. And if you are confused by it, you should probably just watch about 3 games. And yeah, the discussion will be over because it's just not even fair. It's
well,
just
not know, fair. I think if we factor. Sorry, go ahead, Kyle.
Well, I mean, Matthews has had a fantastic season as well, like not to discredit him in any way, but when one player is pretty much close to putting up the century mark in half as many games, I don't see how there's a discussion in any other way. That first game against Winnipeg, he already got his third hat trick of the season, his 9th of his career so far. And if we would have beat Calgary and he got 3 points in the first game against them, he would have tied Jari Kurri for the most consecutive 3-point games in a row, which is 5. So just going on just what a point streak this guy is on. It's just phenomenal to watch night in, night out. Man.
Not get 3 points against Calgary last night too?
Last night, but not the first night to make it right, consecutive. We only had 1 point as a team. Right, so.
My point is if he had gotten that in the loss to the Flames,
he
would have actually set that record and passed, assuming everything went the same Saturday night against the Flames as well. But yeah, it's just a treat to watch this guy. I mean, we're getting to the point where we're spoiled, but we absolutely deserve this.
He just doesn't score boring goals either. All of his goals are just so weird. Like he just puts it between the Calgary defenseman's feet, lands on his own, and puts it top corner somehow. Like, what the hell is that? And even his pass is like dirty 1T to Ethan Bear, just finally finding a scoring touch at the right time of the year for Ethan Bear. Darnell Nurse puts up another one, even to an empty net. But Jesus, this team is getting hotter at the right time.
I can't even do what Connor could do playing in NHL 21 on rookie with Connor McDavid. Like it's beyond video game madness what this guy's able to do.
I just don't get how he consistently splits the NHL top pairing defenseman. I mean, this week alone, he did it 2 or 3 times.
Yeah.
And like, you know, they're looking for it. You know that they know he has that 3-step acceleration. He's gone behind you and they try to give him space and it just doesn't matter.
It's just one of those generational abilities to, I mean, you know what he's bringing to the table every night. You know what you can try and do to stop him, but inside the confines of the rules of the game and not drawing penalties, there's really not much you can do, at least on a consistent basis, to slow him down. Yeah, you can play perfect defense, and McDavid makes mistakes occasionally, and it happens, and you can shut him down for his shifts and even an odd game here and there. But to consistently do that, we're reaching levels of it being impossible.
Well, like you said, generational player, that word has got thrown around so much this past decade, too.
Oh, it drives me nuts.
McDavid truly is the generational player since Crosby. Like, you look at the way that Crosby undressed Strome, thinking back to, like, our firsthand look at it. Like, people deal with that night in and night out with McDavid, and we get to experience that. Sure, other players have glimpses of showing that, but it's not as a consistent presence as it is with McDavid.
I liked how we talked on our last episode when McDavid came up. Kyle's getting giddy here and getting all blushy just talking about
Kyle. Call me narcotic turkey shit, yeah.
Shout out to Narcotic Turkey there on Reddit. Oh man, I lost my train of thought there. My bad. You guys are gonna have to help me out here. Jesus. Oh, sorry. We were talking on last episode where like there's some games where Connor, just like in the first minute, you can just tell he's buzzing and he's gonna have pop off for 3 or 4 or 5 points. And some games where it kind of starts off a bit slower and then gets frustrated or not going his way or the game's just team's playing really well. And then he just pops off out of nowhere. And right after saying that, the first game against Winnipeg, it was one of those games where like 30 seconds in, I can't remember exactly what he did, but he just made a rush on the first shift of the game. I'm like, yep, he's buzzing tonight. It's one of those, I guess. Just absolutely insanity.
And credit to his line mates as well. Like, I mean, I know we've glowed up about Puljujärvi enough this year too, but I mean, he put up 2 assists that first game. That last game against Calgary, you have no idea how happy I was when he threw Giordano to the side there and Gio chased him down behind the net. I was laughing my ass off, dude. Love to see that from Puljujärvi. Just more emotion coming into the game, showing how happy he is to be on this Edmonton Oilers team and not just us happy for him to be here too. Like, he's completely bought in. And
100%,
continue to see it now week after week, and the success that we've now saw with us a point away from clinching the playoffs. This is the happiest I've been as an Oilers fan in years, dude. Years.
Easily since the 17 year, like the 16-17 season when we had the playoffs. Even last year, like, we had a good year, but man, it just feels a little bit different this year. I'm not saying we're going to go on some magical cup run, but it feels entirely possible and full of optimism for sure.
It's so nice when you can finally come down the stretch to a season and not only feel like good about the playoffs that we've already borderline clinched up, but, you know, just feel good about the future of this team. We don't have Peter Chiarelli steering the ship towards an iceberg anymore. We've got Ken Holland with both hands on that, steering it sturdy and straight for once. And it's nice that we finally have a team that's got some depth. And, you know, we bring guys in at the deadline, a sense of, like, from the outside, Kulikov, who had kind of a rough game the other game there. I think it was against Winnipeg or maybe Calgary.
Russell threw it up the boards.
Yeah. He had a tough night, but for the large part, I thought he's looked pretty good. And the addition of Ryan McLeod, which has been almost like a trade deadline acquisition because of how good he's played. He's already gotten up in those top 6 minutes. He's 6'3". He can skate like the wind. He's got some flow and missing a couple teeth. Like, he's exactly what Oil Country loves.
Yeah.
I mean, what more can we say about that guy who's come in and take a spot? Poor Jujhar Khaira, unfortunately, is still sitting there. Might have lost his spot to a guy like that. But, you know, it's just nice to see that depth coming from our organization in a whole.
And, I mean, like, you look at how patient, like, you bring up Ken Holland versus Chiarelli. Chiarelli's still here. McLeod's probably already an Oiler at the end of last year, at the very least start of this year. You know, like, it's one of those things.
McLeod's like an Islander or a Ranger popping off for like 30 goals a few years. Chiarelli's here.
100%.
Well played. He's already burned the bridge in Edmonton if Chiarelli's still here. Jeez, but man, I'm stoked with Ryan McLeod as well. Like, It's something that is so nice to see an organization that truly waits until a player is ready to bring in, and he comes in and excels. And I mean, he's not a game-breaking talent, but dude, like, we've needed a little bit. We have great centers at the top, but that third line center has been a hole for a long time. And now with Nuge being converted to a wing more often than not, and when Draisaitl pops up with McDavid, like, you really don't have a guy that you're confident in popping up to that second line. No disrespect to Haas or Khaira or Turris, but that's the situation we're in. And now, you know, in a small sample size, and it's not an ideal situation having Ryan McLeod as your second line center, but a little bit more faith, a little bit more upside, a little bit more excitement popping up into that role than we had before.
It can be ideal if he's working fine. Like, it gives us the opportunity to put Draisaitl and McDavid consistently together. Like, sure, that second line does weaken off a bit. And McLeod, right? He had 4 games played. He didn't get a point this week, but I don't think that really mattered because he showed how comfortable he was on the ice and getting some chemistry playing with Nuge there. And I think he was with Cahoon, right, for the majority of his night last night. I forget. I'm sorry. It's a thought.
Yeah, I do too, honestly.
It was Nuge and Puljujärvi.
Was it Puljujärvi?
Nuge and Puljujärvi and McLeod.
His first night, he took 4 draws. He won 3 of the 4, 2 against Scheifele, which is a fantastic centerman in himself. And yeah. I think he got a lot of confidence right there with Tippett. We saw him out, I think it was the second Winnipeg game when we were defending a lead. Like, we won 3-1, and he was out there in the last minute.
Yeah.
But like, when are you seeing that from a player in his second game? Like, that's obviously put an impression on the coach and the rest of his teammates as well. So this week with Vancouver, hopefully he gets some point production with himself and he can start to really blossom and get some confidence under himself and maybe have a Yamamoto type breakout.
You know, there's a reason that he was projected to be a first round pick in his draft year. He did slip to the Oilers in the second round. He was projected to be a late first round pick. So he does have some talent there. You know, he's got a lot going for him. The 6'3" is really, really nice. And it's nice that he's played into the top 6 minutes, but I still maintain that the best Oilers team is when McDavid and Draisaitl are on separate lines.
I agree. You just need that winger depth. And I mean, with McLeod, you look at that, it's not only a 6'3", that's a 6'3" with a decently high hockey IQ and they can skate. Like that's a combo you want in your middle six, bottom six centers. That checks the boxes for me. Smart guy, body, can skate. Yeah, fuck yeah, I want you as a third line center.
Well, you look at this team, you add Jesse Puljujärvi and add Ryan McLeod to the top six, and Jesus, that got a lot bigger and still got some skating in there. That's a lot tougher to deal with in the playoffs.
Yeah, 100%. Can we talk about Yamamoto, man? Like you brought him up there briefly, I think Kali did, but Jesus, that guy's snake bit. Like he cannot buy a goal at this point.
He might never score again.
What's that?
He might never ever score again.
He might not. It's insane because it's one of those things like similar to where Puljujärvi before his production kind of shot up there. And every step of the way, he plays the right way. I love what I'm seeing eye test. And he just cannot produce anything this year. And I mean, we're not going to do a deep dive into it this episode. We'll save that for next. But he was my boom pick this year for guys that were going to exceed expectations. And as far as the eye test, maybe he hasn't exceeded expectations, but I think he's met them at the bare minimum. But man, I was talking about him as a guy after the line last year at the end of the year with Ryan Nugent-Hopkins, Leon Draisaitl, and then Kyler Yamamoto. I was talking about Yams as a guy that, shit, he might put up 50 or 60 points in a 56-game season, and he's not even anywhere close to being on that pace. Not trying to dump on the guy. It's just, geez, like, sometimes you just can't get that monkey off your back in the game of hockey.
Well, I mean, it's become such a thing in hockey, a sophomore slump. It has a name for it.
Yeah.
I don't see too much into it. I think that does happen to a lot of players, especially ones that have a lot of success. Like, he was almost a point per game last season coming in. So you know that other teams have been scouting you. They know how to play against you. You're probably getting line matched a little bit more than you were originally your first year, not getting the opportunities you were. And that turns into you as a player to grow out of that and continue to work on your game, which you do see a lot of players shine through. I have no qualms about Yamamoto. Sure, this year he could be better, but as a player as a whole, I have no issue.
Offensively, sure, he's struggling. Yeah. I agree, but I wouldn't say he's playing poorly on the rest of the sheet. Like he's such an asshole to play against. He just gets up into guys' ribs and poking them and being a dickweed and all biting their ankles in the corner. He just that stuff right there is all you need to see from Yams. Like, sure, the pucks aren't going in, and he's had about 9 breakaways where he's not putting it in either, but inevitably, it's like I was saying with Jesse halfway through the year. These bounces will come. And for Jesse, they're starting to, and they're going to get better for him, too. He had a breakaway the other night where he kind of split the D and looked almost like Connor, just jumping up into the rush, and then he lost it on the dribble on his backhand. But those plays are going to happen for these guys. And the more it does, you know, goals are going to happen. And once they start to figure it out, look the hell out, because these 21- and 22-year-old kids are going to be – Jesus, something to be afraid of at one point.
Those A-plus chance creation that they're able to do at this age is definitely an exciting thing. And I mean, glass half full with the lack of production with Yamamoto. I mean, I'm a big guy that I love looking at cap management and that sort of thing. You look at him going into an RFA season this year with no arbitration rights, going into his first contract negotiation. Say that line on the second line did pop off this year and, you know, Yamamoto gets 60 points in 56 games. He's going to probably still get a bridge just like he will now. But now Ken Holland has a better argument without having to tear the player apart in negotiations, in my opinion, to get a reasonable price for 2 or 3 years, when that production's not there, compared to, you know, he pops off for 60 or 70 points with Draisaitl scoring 100 points like he did last year. You know, there's a little bit more of an argument for the, you know, the agent to say, hey, you know, maybe this guy even on a bridge is a $4.5-5 million player on a 2-year deal, which I don't think will be the case this summer.
I'll offer a winger. Ouch. Yeah. But I mean, he was shooting 25% his first season as well. And he put up 44 shots in 27 games. So far this year through 47 games, he's put up 64 shots at 12.5% shooting.
Yeah.
So, like, I agree with Dobko. As soon as that ice opens up more and our players start working together more, he has the shot. He just has to be able to release it more often. And he's going to get his chances. 12.5%, even in this year, which, yeah, sure, it's half of 25, which is insane, that level of shooting. At 12.5%,
and 25 is just not sustainable.
Yeah, 12.5% is respectable. That's a sustainable level of shooting percentage. And he just needs more chances at shooting the puck. Right now, he's competing with a weaker top six than he should be playing with.
Yeah, 100%. I've said 100% a ton this episode. You know, one of those just sayings. Like, the devil's edge. Is that one we're going to drop in? There's our code word. See that transition? You see that fucking transition? That was an A-plus transition. Credit to moi. Sorry, I just had to chew my own horn there. Code word for this episode, for the Ethan Bear signed mini helmet signature, as well as Cree writing, is Devil's Edge. Kind of an inside joke for any of our new listeners. We're just going to leave you on the outside for that one. You'll have to listen more to maybe have that reference hit again.
If you feel like having it utterly destroyed, the three of us will also sign it for you, if you would do that.
Hey, sure. If you want some three amateur podcasters to destroy Ethan Bear's signed helmet, just let us know and we'll sign that shit up. I'm not even going to use my real signature on the off chance that someone does that. Just, I don't want to get doxxed or something. And then all of a sudden it's like, use my legal signature.
If you win this and go to the trouble of saying all three, you got to sign that, then I'll use my real signature. I don't give a shit. You've earned it.
Okay, you know what? I will too. Fuck it. It's not like you can tell anyways. My writing's so shitty.
Maybe my signature is me tracing my hand. You don't know.
Right over the autograph. Kyle's just shaking his head at us right now. You're the voice of reason and you're just not even getting involved in this thing.
I mean, I think it'd be hilarious if somebody did that. It'd be super funny.
Hey, if anyone has any McDavid jerseys out there, I'll sign that shit too.
Have it in your bag. Okay, wow, sick, dude. Nice Ethan Bear mini helmet.
You're happy to sign any Oilers memorabilia?
Yeah, they're just three random dudes with some mediocrely shitty fucking Oilers podcast.
Oh my god.
Oh, Jesus, that's too funny. Yeah, sorry. Get my shit together here. Devil Vent code word. Send that into us on Twitter, DMs, Reddit, personal messages, or you can email us at Oil Country Podcast. Talker, you got to keep it together because you're going to make me laugh. You can email us at Oil Country Podcast.
We just buy the helmet with just his signature, and it's, oh yeah, that's the Cree writing. It's just our signatures next to it. Just scribbles.
That looks like a B with dots, right? Yeah.
Oh, man.
Oh, can you repeat how to enter while you're not laughing so everybody can hear clearly how to enter the code word Devil's Edge?
Devil's Edge. All you have to do is DM us on Twitter with that, PM us or personal message us on Reddit. You'll find it as podcast as post on Reddit, on the Oilers Reddit. So you can find us there. Or if you don't use either of those platforms, you can also just send us a quick email at oilcountrypodcast@gmail.com and you'll get entered in the draw. If you want to do multiple entries on all three platforms, feel free to do that. We're not going to catch that or monitor it. So if you want a better shot, feel free to hit us up there.
No security here, John.
Cheat to win. I love it.
I can't even look at him while I was doing that talk because I wasn't going to be able to keep it together. He's still losing it so much.
It's because I look at Kyle and he's just giggling like a child.
Just still smiling away. Jeez. A couple more points to wrap up the epi here, boys. We're going to get it together. Leon Draisaitl passes Marco Sturm for the all-time leading German point scorer. That's a fucking crazy thing, man. He did it, like, I think Sturm had like 962 games played in the NHL. Draisaitl did it in just about half. I mean, no disrespect to Marco Sturm either. It's a country that doesn't produce, up to this point, a ton of super high-level NHL goal scorers or point-getters, but absolutely insane what Leon's been able to do in his short NHL career. And, you know, he showed a lot of respect to Marco on social media, and both them kind of, you know, congratulating Draisaitl, as well as Draisaitl, you know, giving a shout-out to Sturm, saying he was the real one for all those German kids growing up watching the NHL.
He's been carried by McDavid fucking being on ice 146% of the time, though.
Oh, my. I didn't know he had some Toronto media guests. That's nice.
His plus minus, by the way, is so bad.
For all haters for last year on Draisaitl too, did you know that he's leading the lead and leading the league in plus minus right now?
Yeah. I was literally just about to drop that stack out. Fucking me and you are on the same wavelength. Saw that on Reddit. And last year, like, the arguments about him winning the Hart were that his plus minus, like, how can you win the Hart with a negative plus minus, plus minus, plus minus, plus minus? And yeah, now the guy's leading the league in plus minus. Do you think any media or outside fans are like, wow, Leon's leading the league? Good for him. Nope.
That Nazi. That's all I'm gonna hear, dude.
Fucking oh Jesus.
Oh my.
Getting really intense here.
I mean, well, that's the devil's edge. To go back to reality a little bit here. Leon Draisaitl's in his mid-20s and he's already the greatest German hockey player ever, which is wild. And you know, he's Tim Stutzel, my boy down there in Ottawa, is He's talked about how Leon's been an inspiration for him and a lot of other guys who are still up and coming in Germany, and look for Germany to start being like a legitimate hockey hotbed a little bit there. I'm excited to see the more talent come out of there because it starts with one, and hell, you already see it. So it's going to get better and better.
I mean, another way you could phrase that for Draisaitl is he's the German Gretzky.
A little bit.
I mean, best German hockey player. Like you said, it's absolutely nuts what he's been able to do.
Or he's the only Leon Draisaitl.
Nah, I don't mind that either. Yeah, never mind. I take it back. He's not the German Gretzky. In other news, Philip Broberg is now placed on the taxi squad, which is exciting. His season in Sweden is done. I honestly didn't really reach out and try and watch any of those games. I know he was, you know, some people were a little bit concerned with him not getting top pairing minutes or top 4 minutes like he was expected to get this year. He was kind of relegated to that third pairing and sometimes even the seventh defenseman. But honestly, I'm just excited to see him over in North America. I think it's the right time with his draft plus 2 year now coming to an end shortly. And, you know, get some time on the North American ice. And I think it's the right call to not put him into Bakersfield either. Let him come on this little bit of a playoff run. I think, you know, when you look at that left side, I have no problem, you know, if we get hit with some injuries, getting a little bit more of a maybe high upside guy in Broberg in there over some guys like Cuckoo if needed. But that's, you know, we're going to have to play that by ear, obviously, and see how it goes, because I think Cuckoo will be the first one in when healthy, if a spot does open up on the left side. Where are you guys at with that one?
If Philip Roberg gets in some ice time before Evan Bouchard does, I'll lose my fucking mind.
Well, lefty righty is all I'm saying. Like, Bouchard can't play the left side.
I don't care.
Maybe Bouchard can just play left-handed.
I don't want to hear your logic and rules. I want Evan Bouchard to get out there a little bit here. You know, I'm getting bored with Tyson Barrie starting to flounder in his own end a little bit. But
how dare you, Tyson Barrie, you top 5 point getter in defense. How dare you? I'm getting bored with
you.
He
has been fantastic offensively, but
he has. I think that's probably a conversation for another pod, but as we approach the offseason, but I think we're probably all firmly in the camp that I don't really, you know, thank you for your service, Tyson Barrie, hoping he does not get a big contract in Edmonton.
Enjoy your money. Have fun.
Exactly. Cal, we got sidetracked there. You were going to say something about Broberg. Where are you at?
Yeah, I'm happy that he's over here. He definitely didn't have the best season in the SHL. He had 13 points in 44 games. He didn't have any in the playoffs. And he was playing on quite a decent team. They were fourth in league standings this this season. So those are pretty disappointing results, realistically, for what we kind of expected from him. He still has 7 games that he could play this season, so that we could still slide his ELC contract for one more year. So I would see maybe him playing 1 or 2, but I really don't think that he's going to become a consistent member in the lineup just for that reason alone. As well as, like Dobko said too, I think Bouchard has a spot before he does anytime soon here at the moment. But I do think it's going to be good for him to get practice time in with the North American squad and be able to sit in the press box and watch the North American game in person and just grow his knowledge of the game. It's a good move. Obviously, I'd rather him playing hockey somewhere, but is what it is. It's the situation we're in this year, so.
Playing NHL games is good, but also getting walked by Connor McDavid and Leon Draisaitl in practice about 30 times a day is also good for your development. You know?
It's having... Win by failure, Broberg. Win by failure.
Yeah, straight up, though, having to go against those type of forwards in practice is going to help his development miles. So it's not the worst thing to have him join Evan Bouchard up in the press box. You know, I'm sure he's got a nice little nook and maybe a popcorn machine up there with him. Come on, Philip.
I mean, they've got to have like a big suite for him with all his kids and shit. So I imagine he probably has like his own room and everything, not just a nook.
Well, you
is
know,
that Grandpa joke getting Bouchard, regurgitated yet?
Grandpa Bouchard is, he's got a lot of them running around these days. That man looks older than the 3 of our ages combined, which is really old. And I don't even understand how it's possible.
Yeah. Is that joke getting regurgitated? I don't think so. I think I've got at least like 20 in the bank more for how old Bouchard looks and how many kids he has. He's going to be a granddad.
Started. Just wait till he's actually like on the roster.
Yeah, actually playing. Yeah, it's going to be like a weekly thing on this podcast. Yeah,
the playoff beard. Oh my God, that guy.
Scored one for his 13-year-old son, Stefan, this last game. Let's talk about that on the podcast. It's just
like 8 whiskey gray hairs.
And the rest is stubble that's just stops. It's only these one little spot.
Takes off his helmet and he's already like super balding, just like right up to the middle of his head. It,
man. You are haunting.
Anything else you guys want to add for this episode before we kind of wrap her up here, boys?
I do.
Kyle does.
Jump on him.
There is one player that I feel that we have shit on quite consistently this season. Which is, yeah, his fault to himself too, but our team in front of him, I don't think was playing the best at the earliest part of this year. Koskinen, since Smith has taken over the job, which he has fully ran away with, Dobko's rolling his eyes already. He's played 10 games, he's went 6-4, and he's posted a 9.29 save percentage. So I just want to say credit where credit's due. He's done his job fantastically of filling in as a backup goaltender. He won a game this week as well that we played great in front of him. So that's it.
I'm just going to mute Dobko's mic. And I couldn't agree more. I think we're all in agreement that Mikko's played a huge role. I think he's playing terrific. I will speak for Dobko here that he is a huge Mikko Koskinen fan. I honestly think that's going to be our next jersey giveaway because he is the biggest. We are the biggest Mikko Koskinen supporters right across the three hosts here. And Dobko, do you have anything to add?
The giveaway will be a Dobko for fucking signed Koskinen jersey.
I love you, Mikko. Signed Dobko.
He's talking. Can't hear you, bud. Yeah.
I did actually mute you on Zoom, Dobko. If you want to say anything, you're still talking. You're not. We can't hear you, dude.
That's really good.
Sorry.
It says I was unmuted on my screen, so that's weird.
Oh, that is weird. My bad. Sorry, I was just trying
to. But I mean, anyways, he. It's like to your point though. He does have a 9.29. He has played good in his backup role, and that's where you see him succeed is as a backup, and that's kind of what I've said from the beginning. And Mike Smith's playing. You know, he had a little tweak in practice, and everyone had a panic attack. I know I did. You know, but we recovered from that, and you know, I only lost a few hairs, and it's okay. But no, Koskinen has played good when we needed him to, and that's the beauty. Is I've been really hard on him as a starter, but as a backup, he's among the best backups in the league. And
yeah,
just $4.5 million backup, unfortunately. But
exactly.
And I mean, are we under the cap right now? Does that matter? Who gives a shit?
Yeah. Okay. I do think it's one of those things where, I mean, Mikko is probably, you know, well, not probably. He's definitely not our long-term solution in net. And Mike Smith has just been turning back the clock. But, Kyle, I'm glad you brought that up because Dobko particularly shits on Mikko a lot. You should hear him off the air. I live with this fucking guy. He talks about Mikko like he could barely play in the KHL. But yeah, you know, credit where credit is due. He is starting to play a little bit better. I'm going to sound off this point, the goalie point, on a quick Mike Smith clip. We're going to see if we get a takedown notice for playing this, but we're just going to kind of wing it and see what's going. This is what Mike Smith was asked.
Is there extra satisfaction for you putting probably the final nail in Calgary's playoff hopes here, considering the rival they are?
Yep.
Absolutely love it. Mike Smith had such like a smug look on his face too, just the whole time the question was getting asked. Just a simple.
I love Mike Smith. How can you not see that guy just get absolutely fired up after a win and just drop lines like that? Not love this guy. Win one for Smitty.
Fiery. He's just so fiery. Seeing those like double pump with the knee up after a big win is just fires me up too. That does wrap
I would love to see.
I got one more thing I want to add to, sorry, after. You were just saying about KHL, how Koskinen can play there either, and it just reminded me completely of our other prospect, Konovalov.
Konovalov,
yeah.
Expected to sign here with the Oilers. I don't know if he did already. I'm pretty sure it's still expected. He, this year, 19 games played, 2.29 goals against, 9.23 save percentage. He's consistently been over 9.2 in the KHL the past three seasons. So I'm very happy for him to come over and see what he can do on an American sheet of ice because we need a goalie prospect.
He's not a big guy. He's only 6 feet tall, which means that he makes up for it by being incredibly talented at stopping the puck. So I'm excited to see him too.
Yeah, and it's one of those things. I mean, I think he's even under 6 feet. I think he might be 5'11".
196 pounds, yeah.
Yeah, but I mean, at the end of the day, like you said, he's got to make up with agility and talent. And it's not unheard of. Like the NHL typically has, you know, 6'2", 6'3", and bigger goalies. But I believe somebody actually brought it up on Reddit about this. I think it was Casey DeSmith. He's like 5'10" or something like that. And, you know, he's an NHL caliber goalie in Pittsburgh. So it's not impossible. And, you know, with him, with Stuart Skinner being an absolute monster of a man and Konovalov, and don't forget about Rodrigue either. You know, we haven't been keeping tabs on him, but we've got some goalie prospects and, you know, all we got to hope is one of the three pan out into a legit NHL starter, hopefully a franchise level starter. But yeah, good call bringing that up. I forgot that Konovalov was expected to sign. That will wrap up another episode.
Head scout of the Oil Country podcast, Kyle.
Yeah, exactly. Just name dropping all this shit. name dropping all these prospects. That will wrap up another episode of the Oil Country podcast. Thank you very much to all of our listeners out there. Look back in the episode, send us in that code word that was dropped. I'll drop it again right now. Devil's Edge DM. Send it to us on Reddit or send it to our email, oilcountrypodcast@gmail.com. Hope you guys have a great week. Guarantee that the Oilers clinch the playoffs. Playoff berth against the Vancouver Canucks, or I will quit this podcast. Have a great week, everybody. Stay safe, and we will catch you next Monday.